Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
And grab your Bible, turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We've got it on the screens where you can follow along what Paul said to the church that was in Rome. And now some 2,000 years later, it's still speaking to us because the Word of God is living. It's active. The Word of God is eternal and it's full of life. And so we're going to look today at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to keep talking about Jesus Christ. Last week, I began talking to you about Jesus Christ and about his preeminence. And we're going to continue looking at the power of Jesus, the person of Jesus, and how badly we need him in our life. And so let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes and he says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." If you've got any kind of Pentecostal, and you should just say amen right there. Verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is subject to the law of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Pray with me this morning. Father, we look to your word, and by your word, we get your will. By your word, we get the way in which we should live. And as the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, I thank you that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is still quickening mortal bodies, still giving life. And so I pray for the life of the Spirit to be upon the Word of God today, that it would take root in our hearts and it would bear fruit that would be love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and all the things that the Spirit of God can produce and only the Spirit of God can produce in our life. And we look to the Word, which is Jesus, to today, and we say, transform the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we make decisions. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today in the presence of the Lord. It's so good to have you. Some of you guys are wondering, why has he got a stool? Is he injured? Is he impaired? Is something wrong? No, I'm using a stool today because as we've been going through the Beatitudes on Wednesday nights, and if you've missed out on that, I highly encourage you to come. We have one more week of the Beatitudes on Wednesday night. It's been an awesome study in the teachings of Jesus. I noticed something, because every week we read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And as we read it every single week, I realize that it says that Jesus sat down and he taught them these things. Literally, the entire Sermon on the Mount was taught from a seated position. Jesus just sat down. Why? Because you speak differently when you're seated, and you receive differently when someone is seated. And I'm not saying that I'm going to only sit down, but for some reason the Lord impressed upon my heart that I need to sit today. Because when you sit, it's a more relaxed and it's a more teaching environment. And I want to teach through this passage of Scripture today, because I think that when we read passages like, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit," we read that, and we just always lump it into what we already know about it, what we've already heard about it, what we understand of it. And I want to hopefully give you a different understanding, or maybe hopefully a better understanding today. And I've noticed that when I sit, my WPM goes down. That's my words per minute. And I have a tendency to talk very quickly. And I want to slow down because I don't want anyone to live in condemnation. I don't want anybody to live with that burden and that weight that comes, because if Jesus gave us the opportunity to live without condemnation, I would hate for anybody to choose to live in condemnation. And so I want to talk to you today about Jesus Christ, our freedom. Last week, we talked about the preeminence of Christ. We talked about the truth that he's either Lord of all or not at all. In fact, in the book of Revelation, he said, because you were neither hot nor cold, but because you were lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I would rather you be hot or you be cold. He is either the Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. If we claim him as Savior, then do you know what that means? That means we must also submit to him as Lord. He's not just the one that saves us from hell. He's my good luck charm. He's my buddy on the side. He's the one that keeps me from having to go to hell. No, he is the Lord of my life that has the ability to command me to go here, go there, do this or not do that. He must not just be our Savior, but he must be our master. He must be our friend. And so Paul told the Corinthians, and we ended with this last week, he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul's primary passion and purpose was to know Jesus and to make a way and help other people to know Jesus. You read Paul's writings. Anytime he talks about his personal mission, it always comes down to this. I want to know Jesus, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, all the things that were excellency of knowledge, I counted all those things as loss. Why? That I may know him. But his mission, his goal was not just to know Christ, it was that other people would be able to know Christ. That's why he told people, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Because he wanted them not to follow him. He wasn't building the religion of Paul. He was teaching people, training people, showing us how to imitate Christ Jesus. And so we need to understand the preeminence of Christ, that as Paul wrote in Colossians, that in all things Christ may be preeminent. That means chief, ruler, the number one of influence in our life. But I now want to talk to you about Jesus Christ, our freedom. Because in John chapter 8, Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He also said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except by me. So if he's the truth, and the truth makes us free, then the only way that we can have freedom is through Jesus Christ. That's why it says, what the law could not do in the flesh, God did by sending his son. He made a way for us to live in freedom. Galatians 5:1, Paul tells us this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Meaning, Jesus didn't set you free to live in and out of freedom. He set you free so that you would live in total and complete freedom. Freedom can only come through Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. Staying free comes from staying in Christ. Freedom comes through Jesus. And there's a lot of people that they come to Jesus and they get free, but they don't stay free. You know why they don't stay free? Because they don't stay in Christ. That's why Paul said, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to their flesh, but they're walking according to the Spirit. So Christ sets us free, but we stay free by staying in Christ. That's why in John chapter 15, Jesus said, abide in me. Stay in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Nobody can bear fruit unless they're connected to me. He said, apart from me, you can't do anything. So if you want to be free and you want to live a life that is fruitful and abundant and beneficial to the people around you and advantageous for the kingdom of God, you've got to stay in Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul's indicating to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. But the book of Romans as a whole is an absolutely beautiful portion of the scripture. I mean, it's amazing. From chapter 1 all the way through chapter 16, it's just loaded with truth and loaded with just things that we sometimes we take for granted, things that we don't fully understand, we don't fully comprehend, but God gives us more grace. And there's so much in there, but by the time Paul reaches the 8th chapter, he is in a full-on sprint, Like, it starts pretty quickly in chapter 1, but by the time he gets to, like, 6, 7, and 8, it's just like, we're not walking anymore, we're running. Like, he is just dropping truth, after revelation, after nugget of gold on us that we're like, how do I even keep up with all of this stuff, right? But he begins this portion of the letter by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, it's interesting that he says that there is now no condemnation. What he's alluding to in that thought is the fact that before Jesus, there was and always would be condemnation. But now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to their flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's such an amazing promise that we have from God, that we don't think about. That he's promising us, look, if you will walk with me, if you will stay in me, if you'll stay in Christ, if you will not heed the desires of your flesh, but you will yield to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, guess what? There will never be condemnation on your life. It's an amazing promise. Obviously, though, that means this. There is condemnation to people who walk according to their flesh. So, walking according to the flesh, you know how that happens? When we fail to keep Christ preeminent in our life, we walk according to our flesh. When we take our eyes off of his divinity, like Pastor Jeff was saying earlier, just put your eyes on Jesus right now. We fix our eyes on you, the author and the completer, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. We set our eyes upon him. Because when we take our eyes off of him being chief, him being Lord, him being number one, him being preeminent, and we put it on the desires of our flesh or the problems that we're facing, it's in that moment that we begin to walk according to the flesh instead of being in Christ and walking according to the Spirit. So when we make a decision to follow our flesh, essentially, you know what we're saying? I think I know better than you do. I think my opinion is more important than your opinion. I think my way trumps your way. And you know what that brings? It brings condemnation. Paul is not saying condemnation doesn't exist. He's not saying if you get saved, there is no condemnation. Because that's not what he said. He said there is no condemnation to those, to this specific people that choose to live their life in such a way that they're staying in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you have stepped out of Christ Jesus before since you got saved? Guess what? Condemnation is now available to you. Just because you prayed a prayer one day and you said, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life, that doesn't mean that there is no condemnation for you. He's not saying that you can pray one blanket prayer and live bulletproof. Meaning, I can say, I'm in Jesus, I love you so much, and then I leave this life and I walk in my flesh and expect to not have any condemnation, not have any guilt, not have any penalty, not have any accountability for what I've done. But that's what we've turned it into, that, oh, you go to church, you're saved, you know Jesus, you claim to know God. Guess what? There's no condemnation for you, buddy. You're fine. And we've lied to people over and over, and people are bearing the weight of condemnation and wondering, why do I still feel like this? If God is so good, and if God is so loving, and if he has promised to me no condemnation, then why do I feel condemnation? Because we have failed to tell people that that only applies when you stay in Christ Jesus. You ever signed up for something, like a contract or something, and in that contract, there will be terms that make that contract void if you do this or if you do that, right? There's certain things in my insurance, that my insurance, funny enough, I got dropped from homeowners insurance one time because they showed up at my house and saw I had a trampoline. And they said, you have a trampoline. We're not renewing your insurance. I was like, because I have a trampoline? They were like, yeah. And so I had to go find new insurance. I didn't have any I was like, well, is there not like another policy I get? No, you have a trampoline. You're not getting insurance again. I was like, okay, that's whatever, you know. But it's amazing that we expect when it comes to God that we should be able to take advantage of his grace. Grace is meant to empower you not to do wrong. It doesn't mean that I can be wrong and still have no condemnation. That's not what this is saying. Condemnation, also, let me give a distinction, because we've developed this terminology amongst believers about condemnation. And when we say, I'm dealing with condemnation, how many of you have felt like I've dealt with condemnation before? What you're actually dealing with is self-condemnation, okay? Condemnation is not guilt. That's self-condemnation, okay? When we think about condemnation, typically we're talking about guilt. Guilt is this: it's feeling bad for doing something that is morally wrong. And a lot of times we're like, oh, I'm dealing with condemnation. You should thank God that you feel guilty when you do wrong. That means that your conscience is not seared. When you feel bad for doing something wrong, you shouldn't go, oh, I'm feeling condemned. No, that's guilt. It's like this. Guilt is like a warning sign telling you something's wrong. It's like a check engine light for your spiritual life to go, something is not right. Somehow I have gotten out of Christ Jesus. Somehow I did not walk according to the Spirit, but I did something according to my flesh, and now I'm feeling guilt and condemnation, and guilt and condemnation doesn't come to people that are living in Christ Jesus. It comes to people that have stepped out of Christ Jesus. And so that means I need to get back into Christ Jesus. And now, so many people struggle with this because of, you know, once saved, always saved, right? Listen, here's the deal. If you, once you get saved, cannot walk away from God, then he's not a loving God. He's not a God that gave you the ability to choose. At that point, he becomes a slave master. At that point, you're chained to him, and there's nothing you can do to get rid of him. That's not how God works. He loves you so much that he said, I don't want to make you come to me against your will. I don't want to make you stay with me against your will. But I also love you enough that if you will, you can come to me at any time. No matter if you walk away, guess what? You can come back. And so condemnation is actually this. When you look up the word condemnation, what that Paul used, condemnation is the punishment for doing what is wrong. So what he's saying is, when you're in Christ Jesus, he's not saying you won't feel guilt, you won't feel, like lesser than. He's basically saying there is no penalty for sin when you're in Christ Jesus. Because when you get saved, all the sins that you committed cease to exist. You can't be held accountable for them anymore, because he removed them as far as the east is from the west. He chooses to remember them no more. So it'd be like if someone said, this person committed this wrong, and he goes, what wrong? Because I don't remember it. So I can't punish them for something that I don't remember. I can't hold them accountable for something that I don't know they ever did. So there is no penalty for sin. In this instance, condemnation is not feeling bad about yourself, being down on yourself, feeling bad about what you've done, or you know, it's literally just the price for atonement of sin. It's the punishment for sin. And I want you to know this. There are consequences for the decisions that you and I make. Just because we got saved doesn't mean there no longer is consequences for wrongdoing. The penalty for sin is simply this: separation from God. That's the condemnation that we receive. The lack of fellowship, the lack of peace, the lack of joy, the lack of prosperity, the lack of wisdom that comes from walking with God. That's the punishment that you and I face. We don't have the nearness with God that we had because we chose our way over his way. Now, there's a difference in mistakes and willful sin, okay? Mistakes are one thing, but when you know what's right and you choose to do wrong, the book of James says that's sin. That's missing the mark. And the Bible is clear that it says sin separates man from God. So we're promised this. So often we focus on that. We focus on the penalty, right? Like, okay, if I sin, he's going to take this away from me. No, if I sin, I chose to give that up, is how it actually works. He doesn't go, oh, you made a mistake, I'm taking it away. He says, life and death are placed before you. You choose which one you want. Do you want to live in the Spirit? Do you want to live in life? Then choose that. Do you want to live in flesh? Do you want to live in condemnation? Do you want to live in fear? Do you want to live in guilt? Do you want to live in worry? Do you want to live in separation from God? The choice is yours. He's not taking anything from us. He's actually offering to us the ability to choose. So we're promised that if we will abide in Christ and we'll walk not according to the desires of our flesh, what we want, but according to his Spirit, then we don't have to bear the punishment of condemnation. We don't have to pay the price of sin. You know why? There won't be any sin to be punished for. It's not present. It's not there. That doesn't mean that I prayed a prayer one time and I'll never get punished for anything again. No. It means that you're a new man. You're a new woman. You're a new creation. You're not living the way that you used to live. You're living a better life than you used to live. You're not living according to the guilt and the condemnation and the shame. You're living in Christ Jesus now. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. If you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh, what is there to be punished for? What is there to feel guilty about? What is there that God could give any condemnation to? So he's not saying condemnation doesn't exist. He's saying there is no punishment for wrong because there is no wrong remembered and there is no wrong committed when you stay in me. If you stay in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away, all things become new. And if you walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify those desires of your flesh because you're living according to his Spirit and you're following his lead. So condemnation is simply the punishment for wrong. But there is such a thing as self-condemnation. I don't want you to leave here today thinking, oh, okay, condemnation is just, it's just, you know, punishment. No, there is such a thing as when you literally condemn yourself. And that this is self-condemnation. It's when we punish ourselves or we stay in the feeling of guilt even though we've already repented and he's already forgiven us. Where we say, God, I'm sorry. I changed my mind. I changed my purpose. I don't want to live this way. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And we turn, and even though we do that, and even though he forgives us, we think I'm still guilty. Or we think I need to make up for it. That's such a Catholic way of living and thinking. Like, I've got to pay penance for the things that I've done wrong. I've got to show God. And really what happens is, faith like a child doesn't mean you do something wrong and then you try to make up for it. Remember when you were a child, you did something wrong and then you wanted to show mom and dad you were a good boy or you were a good girl? Or like you did something wrong, so like you cleaned your room, right? And it's like, I need to show that I am not what I did, right? I am a good person. I do need to stay in this house. I am a valuable part of this family. We don't have to do that with God. We don't have to show him God. And what we do a lot of times, condemnation leads to self-mutilation. And that can be physical. There's literally some people that they physically hurt themselves after they've sinned because they're so mad at themselves. They're so disappointed. And they want to feel that pain. And they think that that's making a better way for them. Listen, Jesus took stripes on his back. He took nails in his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. He took a spear in his side so that you didn't have to. He took all that away. But when I say self-mutilation, I'm not just talking about physically. What we do is emotionally and mentally, we mutilate ourselves. Every time we mess up, I'm an idiot. Why did I do that? Why am I so dumb? Why am I so bad? Why do I? And that's where Paul is wrestling in chapter 7 before we even get into 8. He's saying, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he's in this wrestling point that we all find ourselves in sometimes. But when we give into the flesh, a lot of times we want to just beat ourselves up. And that is self-condemnation. Because once we repent, it's gone. He doesn't remember it anymore, but we do. We hold on to it. We go, why did I say that? Why did I treat my children like that? Why did I lie? Why did I? And it's okay to allow that guilt to lead us to repentance. But what once we've repented, you've got to let it go. You've got to forget it. You can't continue to condemn yourself. And so when we fail to let go of the guilt that comes with sin, meaning God forgives us, but we haven't forgiven ourselves, this becomes a major problem in people's lives. In fact, most people live their life by this formula. I mess up. I ask God to forgive me, but then I need 3 to 5 days before I feel close with God again. I can't feel that the nearness that I had, I destroyed it. And so I need to prove to him that I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to do wrong. And that's how we live. You know why? Because we take how people treat us and we put that on God. Because no matter how good of people are, when you wrong them, it takes them time to get over it. It takes them a few days. As parents, as a spouse, you know, when or as co-workers, whatever it may be, friends, when you do something wrong, people don't immediately trust you again. There's trust that needs to be rebuilt because they still remember. They may forgive you, but they still remember. They did this. They said this. They acted this way. With God, he chooses not to remember it anymore. So he's not sitting up there going, you said you're sorry, but I'm going to need to see that you're actually sorry for a few days. I'm going to need to know. You're going to need to earn that trust back. I remember my parents, you know, and this is just true because we're just humans. They'd be like, I forgive you, but you're going to need to regain some trust. That makes sense as a parent. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not how God treats us. And you may say, well, I feel like it is. Show me where that is in the Bible. Show me where God says, okay, I'll forgive you, but you need to prove to me that you're worthy of this. If it was based on worth, then we never would have gotten there to begin with. And so the Bible actually says this, if any man be in Christ, and remember what we're talking about, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That means the moment you are in Christ Jesus, you are 100% new. You don't need a process of showing to God, I am good enough, because you're not good enough. It's only his grace that made you able to receive his help to begin with. If we confess our sin, John said this, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us, but it doesn't stop there, because that's how the world operates. I forgive you, but I still have an attached sense of condemnation that's going to come until you prove to me that you're going to actually be good. But it says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That means to wipe the board clean, like it never happened, from all unrighteousness. So don't let self-condemnation trick you into living with the unneeded burden of guilt. Some people live in condemnation because it makes them feel worthy. It makes them feel righteous. Oh, because I feel bad, God loves me more. Because that proves that I'm really, really sorry. No, being really, really sorry is repenting. It's saying, I'm changing, God, and I'm trusting you to take care of the guilt and the condemnation. So don't let it trick you into living with the unneeded burden of guilt. When you confess and you repent, guess what? You're forgiven. Right then, right there, in that moment, there is no need to pay penance to God. He's already forgiven you. Either we believe the blood of Jesus is enough, or we don't. Either we believe it's strong enough to cleanse the guiltiest of sinner, or we don't. So when you are battling with condemnation, do you know what you're actually doing? You are actually saying, I don't value the sacrifice that you made at a high enough level. I don't think that it was actually as powerful as you claim that it is, God. I think that my works are plus your sacrifice are what's going to be enough. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of our own doing. I'm not saying we don't need works. Works have to accompany faith, but works have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation has everything to do with works. Because I've been saved, I'll work out my own salvation. I'll do good works, but it's a joy to do. It's not something that I have to do. And I've got some good news for you today. When we talk about self-condemnation, John talks about it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Do you have that scripture for us, John? 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. That's some good news today. Because I've been there before where I did something wrong, and I ask God to forgive me. God, please forgive me. Create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Forgive me. Help me. I'm sorry I did it, but I still feel bad. And my heart is condemning me. My heart is going, you need punishment. You deserve to suffer. You need to show to God that you're really sorry. Not just sorry, like you need to put on some sackcloth and ashes and walk around for a few days. You need to let everybody know that you did something wrong, right? I remember getting in trouble as a child or as a young man, and then it'd be like, I'm going to go mow the yard, right? Like, the yard was just mowed yesterday. But, like, maybe if Dad comes home and I'm on the lawnmower, he will be less inclined to be frustrated. And I'm weed eating. I hate weed eating. I'm weed eating. I'm like, Dad, look how much I love weed eating, right? I'm weeding the flower bed. I'm just like doing everything. Why? Because I thought that by doing good things, I was going to make up for the wrong. That's not how it works. It's not how God works. When our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And listen to this. He knows everything. He knows it all, but he doesn't choose to remember all of it. He knows what you did, but he says, because you came to me in repentance, because you confessed, guess what? I don't hold it against you. Makes me think about when John, I believe it's in chapter 9, maybe 8, there's the Pharisees brought this woman that had been committing adultery, and they threw her at Jesus' feet. And they said, look at this lady. The law of Moses commands that she must be stoned. Jesus said, okay, if any of you haven't sinned yourself, you can throw a stone at her. One by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they just drop their stone on the ground. They begin to walk away. And my favorite part is Jesus looked at the woman. He said, woman, who condemns you? And I just imagine her looking around and realizing that all of the people that were bearing down on her with condemnation have left. And she knew that the one that was looking her in the eye didn't condemn her. You know how I knew that? There was no condemnation in the eyes of Jesus because her answer, she said, nobody. I can almost see just like this relief coming off of her being like, I was about to die. They were about to throw stones at me. And now nobody is holding a stone. She said, nobody. You know what Jesus said? Guess what? I don't either. But then he said this, go and sin no more. Why did he tell her that? Was he trying to put a weight on her that she couldn't perform? No, he was trying to empower her to realize if you stay in this, there will never be any condemnation on your life again. You can live free of condemnation. You can live free of guilt. Because Jesus will never tell us to do something that he will not make a way for us to live out. So I say to you today, who condemns you? Because if you're in Christ Jesus, now, if you are choosing to willfully live outside of the parameters of the will of God for your life, then guess what? There is condemnation, but you've brought that on yourself. But thankfully, even though you've done that, he's sitting up there going, I'll forgive you. You can come back, and the condemnation can go away like that. I want you to realize about God, he's not a scorekeeper. He's not up there going, they did this wrong, they did that wrong. No, when we confess our sins, he wipes the board clean. He says, you don't have to pay for those sins that you've already repented of. And so when your heart condemns you, when your heart says, I need to be punished. Now, if you've done wrong and you have not yet repented, that sense of guilt is meant to lead you to repentance. I remember when I was a young man, I was 15 years old, and I'd done something terribly wrong. And I'd hidden it from everybody. And my grandfather asked me to come spend a few days with him at his farm, probably under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted me to bush hog his farm. And I remember condemnation was just a weight that I could not bear. It was just heavier. I remember I was bush hogging on that old tractor, and I had an iPod. That'll date me a little bit. I had an iPod. I didn't even have a cell phone. I had to borrow my grandfather's cell phone later to call my dad. And I remember I listened to Hillsong United over and over and over and over, the same album, Look to You, over and over and over again, because I was so just convicted that I couldn't listen to anything but worship music. And so I just listened to that album over and over again. And after about 2 days of just wrestling on the tractor, I said, Granddaddy, we were eating like beanie weenies for dinner. It was awful, you know. And I said, Granddad, can I borrow your cell phone? He said, yeah. And I took his phone. I walked out by the creek at my grandfather's farm. I called my dad, and I told him everything that I'd done. That is good guilt. Because that guilt, I knew there's separation. I've done something that I need to make right. I need to apologize for. That's good guilt. But you know what? The cool thing was, when I told my dad, he He said, I thought something was wrong. I thought something was not right when I dropped you off with your grandfather. And he said, you know what? I forgive you. I still love you. It's okay. He didn't bear down on me. All right, well, when you get home, you're going to need to do this and this and this. He said, look, we'll talk about it. It's okay. That's what being free of condemnation looks like. There wasn't a further repercussion of what I had already repented of. It was over. It was done in a moment. It was God allowing me to see, this is how I treat you when you come to me. Guilt is, guilt. When you haven't repented of it, guilt's a good thing. Let it drive you to God. But once you come to God, the guilt's got to go with the sin. The condemnation has got to go with the sin. So remind yourself of this. God is greater than my heart. He knows everything, and he still loves me. He still accepts me in the beloved. He still wants me to be a part of the family. My job is this, to abide in the Holy Spirit. Now, you may ask, well, how do I do that? How many of you say, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to stay in Christ Jesus. But then the biggest question is, well, how do I do that every single day? Well, thankfully, Paul was so smart and so inspired by the Holy Spirit, he told us how to do it. If we just keep reading, he says in verse 5, that those who walk according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who walk according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. That just makes sense, right? Like when you read it, you're like, oh, that's so simple. In order to walk in the Spirit, I need to think on the things of the Spirit. But if I want to walk in the flesh, I need to think on the things of the flesh. The problem is that we want to think in the flesh and live in the Spirit. We don't want to do it the way that it was prescribed for us to do it in the Bible. We want to think fleshly and live spiritually. And we want to bounce in and out of spirit and flesh, in and out. And he's saying, no. What you've got to do is set your mind. Not just visit the mind of the Spirit, but set your mind on the things of the Spirit. We need to understand, this doesn't just relate to church. We want to come to church with a spiritual mind and then go to work with a fleshly mind. He's saying, no, if you want to live in the Spirit, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. When you're at home, when you're at work, when you're at Walmarts, when you're pumping gas, when you're doing anything, when you're watching football, let your mind be in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So I want to ask you, what channel is your mind tuned to? Because you can't be, Nowadays, yesterday we were watching football, and Madison said, they've got this thing where you can watch four games at a time. And I was like, why would I want to watch four games at a time? Right? Like, I can barely keep up with one game at a time. That's how my mind works. And that's kind of cool if, like, you're working around the house and you want to keep an eye on what all the scores are. But when I'm watching my team, I want to watch my team. The world ceases to exist save thinking like the Spirit of God. I don't want to watch Virginia Tech while the Gators are on. I don't want to watch Ohio State. I don't want to watch Alabama. I don't care if we're playing Charlotte. I am watching the Florida Gators. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I want to watch. But what we want to do is we want to set our mind on, well, I want to think on the Spirit and I want to think on the flesh. I want to think about godly things and I want to think about earthly things. So I want to ask you, what channel are you tuned to? It's amazing to me of this, though. When we don't like what's on TV, we change the channel. When we don't like what's on the radio, we change the channel. I found out the other day that the new vehicle that we bought, the previous owner paid for Sirius satellite radio. So I have Sirius satellite radio in the car. And you know why I like that? There's no commercials. You don't have to listen to someone talk about a car sale that they're having, come to University Cleveland, Honda, Kia, whatever, and I'll buy any old car, right? And I'm like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about the COVID shot. I don't want to hear about nothing. I just want to hear some music, right? But it's amazing that when a song comes on that we don't like, which happens for me a lot, I'll change the channel. I don't sit there and go, well, I guess I got to listen to this song. You know, when I'm watching football, if a game gets out of hand, I go find a game that is close, right? Unless it's my team. But I don't sit there and go, well, I guess I'll just have to watch, you know, Tennessee blow out UTSA or whoever they played. No, I'll go find something I want to watch, right? But when it comes to our thinking, we don't act that way. We act like we've lost the remote, right? I don't know about y'all. I got children. The remote gets lost all the time. I'm about to buy like an Apple tag and put it on the remote. So we have a Roku TV, so I downloaded the Roku app on my phone so that I can change the TV from my phone because I'm not going to spend 45 minutes or 45 days looking for the remote again, right? But that's how we act with our thinking. It's like, I guess I'm just thinking bad today. I guess I'm just thinking negatively. I guess I am just being condemning towards myself today. Change the channel. Like, you have the ability, or Paul wouldn't tell us, you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Or you can set your mind on the things of, what happens, though, is a fleshly thought comes, and we go, I guess I'll jump on that train for a while. And we ride it, and then we're like, how did I get here? Right? Like, none of us would get in our car and mindlessly drive and wonder, why am I in Tullahoma, Tennessee right now? Like, how did I get here? Do you remember how we got here? No, I don't remember how we got here. Why did we come? Well, we didn't have any reason. We just got in the car and started driving. Nobody's going to do that after church. Now, you might now, because for some reason, you might be weird and be like, that actually sounds kind of fun. Let's do that, right? But you're not just going to get in there and just mindlessly drive. So why do we mindlessly think? Why do we just let our mind go here and go there? No, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Change the channel. You know why we do that, though? Is we are lazy in our thinking. Because before remote controls, to change the channel of the television, you had to get up and you had to walk over to the TV and turn it. Now, I don't remember that because I'm not as old as y'all are, but some of y'all remember that. I remember I had a great aunt that had one of those televisions, and I knew quickly that I was glad I was born in 1991 because, you know, the whole bunny ear thing, right? Wrapping aluminum foil around, like, stand right there, okay? You know, you got somebody holding the antenna. It's like, don't move. We've got it. Well, I can't see the game right now. Well, but we can, so just hold it right there, right? But we would have to get it. And the reason that we don't change the channel in our mind is we're just too lazy. Just like, oh, I guess I'll just think about this for a while. No. When that negative thought comes, you choose, I'm setting my mind. I'm not setting my mind on that. Imagine thoughts are like shelves. I'm setting my mind on the shelf of the Spirit. I'm going to set it on that channel. I'm not going to listen to the negativity. I'm not going to dwell on the lustful thoughts. I'm going to dwell on the fact that purity comes through Christ Jesus, and he has granted me access to be able to walk in him and walk in the Spirit and not gratify the sinful desires of my flesh. I'm going to proactively set my mind on him. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and decide, I'm thinking about you. I might not be feeling it, but I'm going to think it. And if I think it, I'll eventually begin to feel it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel like worshiping this morning. Like none of y'all have ever come to church and been like, some of y'all don't even come to church sometimes. And then you're going to sit there and go, Pastor didn't feel like worshiping this morning. He's here 52 times a year. And one time he didn't feel like raising his hands. What a loser, right? But next week I think I'll go fishing, right? I'm joking. It's okay. It's okay. I'm just joking. But you know what? When Pastor Jeff said, I believe in the power of a gospel, all of a sudden I said, you know what? I do too. And so I'm going to lift my hands because that's what I believe. I might not feel empowered right now, but I believe in the power of the gospel that still makes the broken whole. And so when we do what we don't feel like doing, eventually we'll start. Guess what? By the end of that song, I was feeling it. I was like, let's do the next song, Jeff. Let's go. I'm ready, right? And so sometimes you have to do what you don't feel like. And sometimes you don't feel like getting up and changing the channel. Sometimes you don't feel like setting your mind on the thing of the Spirit. But guess what? If you don't, you don't want to pay the price that you're going to have to pay for thinking in the flesh. Because to be carnally minded makes you an enemy of God. And you can either be a friend of God or you can be an enemy of God. And it all comes down to what you're thinking about. Am I thinking carnally? Meaning, am I putting myself first? Because carnal is where we also get the word for fleshly. So when we think according to our own flesh, what we're saying is, I'm opposing what you want, and I'm going with what I want. Right? It's like choosing where to eat. You ever had that moment with your spouse? What do you want to eat? Right? I don't know. What do you want to eat? How about Highway 55? Nah. You know? Okay. How about Chick-fil-A? They're closed. It's Sunday. Right? Okay. Well, how about Captain D's? Nah, I don't really like their slaw. Okay. Well, Zaxby's is right there next to Captain D's. How about Zaxby's? Nah, I don't really want Zaxby's. I don't care. We're going to Zaxby's. Right? Because I'm tired. Like, you finally get to that point where you're like, you're going to have a reason for why not to go anywhere. Like, okay, all right, how about here? Now I got food poisoning there one time. You're like, that was 15 years ago, right? Now, I will say, there are some, I've been watching more TV with watching football. I'm not ashamed to admit it. There are some commercials that come on for food, and I'm just like, that looks like food poisoning. I don't care. Like, if you can't make it look good on the commercial, there ain't no way it's going in this temple. The Holy Ghost lives in here. And those Sonic buffalo chicken empanada wonton dipper things ain't coming across this threshold. That is not happening because I have seen the light. I have seen prophetically it does not end well. Okay? So I won't be going there. But you're in that moment, and finally you just decide, we're not going there. We're going where I want to go. And with God, he's over there going, hey, it'd be better if you went here. You're like, I'm not going there. I'd rather go here. And it seems like a simple thing in the moment. And we become so accustomed to do it. Have you ever noticed that you do some things so many times that you do them without thinking? I fear that we have gotten to that point with the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've ignored him so many times that it's just second nature. It's just second nature to think carnally. And then condemnation comes and we're like, God, I thought you said you wouldn't give me this. Thought you said I was free of this. And he's like, yeah, I did. But it came with the instruction to stay in me. And you're walking away from me, expecting the blessing that comes from walking with me. And so we have to realign our thinking. Change the channel. Don't fill your mind with worthless things, complaining, feeling sorry for yourself. Set your mind on the right channel. Think about good things. Holy things. If you don't have anything else to think about what we sang about this morning. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Listen, we are indebted to him. That's why 2 weeks ago when we talked about honor, Paul said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We are indebted to him. So when we want to do our own thing, remember this, he paid the bill. You ever been in a situation where somebody did something for you and you felt indebted to them and you're like, I need to do this because of that? Here's the deal. God's not trying to hold it over your head and say, I did this for you, so therefore you need to do this for me. He's saying, I did this for you and I love you and I'm offering you the opportunity to do the right thing. It's like sometimes with my parents, when I was growing up, or I'll do this with my children too, be like, hey, did you do this? Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it right before I punish you, before you get in trouble. You know, they'll run into the room and interrupt us. I'll say, hey, go back out of the room and try that again. Come back in and don't interrupt. Wait. Be polite. Be cordial. Wait till you have our attention. Don't just start yelling at us. And then when they come back in, they do it right. They've learned how to do it right. And God is giving us the opportunity saying, look, there won't be any condemnation if you just stay in me. If you just walk with me, follow the Spirit. Don't follow yourself. But remember this. The reason that you are not condemned has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with what he did. The penalty of sin was placed upon him so that you didn't have to bear it, so that you didn't have to live in condemnation. Without him, we are bound and we are held accountable to the wrongs that we've done. But in him, it all goes away. It's all paid for. It's all taken care of. And so the condemnation that was rightfully ours, he took upon himself. He took that condemnation. But in him, there is no condemnation. When we walk not according to what we want to do, but when we keep him preeminent and we say, Holy Spirit, I'm letting you lead. I'm yielding to you. Whatever your desire is, that's what we're going to go with. Because you get to choose, do I want condemnation or do I want freedom? But you can't have both of them. Either walk in freedom or you walk in condemnation. And the only way to have freedom is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. We're going to have victory. We're going to live in victory over sin. We're not going to walk according to the flesh. We're going to walk according to the Spirit. We're going to set our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. We're going to live spiritually minded and not carnally minded. If you agree with that, can you say amen? The word amen simply means so be it. What you're saying is I welcome that in my life. As what you're saying, let it be unto me according to the word of God. If that's your heart, would you close your eyes and lift your hands today? Father, I thank you that you have redeemed us from the price and the penalty that is due from sin, and you place that upon your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And we receive the gift of grace right now. And we say we are so thankful that we don't have to walk in condemnation, but we can walk in the truth. We don't have to walk in the penalty of sin, but we can instead say, I am free because the Son has made me free. And Lord, I pray for the one that's dealing with self-condemnation. In fact, if that's you today, would you just lift your hand if you've been dealing with self-condemnation? Lord, I break that off right now in Jesus' name. I ask that the guilt that is associated with sin that has been repented of would be broken in the name of Jesus. And I declare over your people, if their heart condemns them, you are greater. We serve a God who is stronger, more powerful, able to say, I know that you did wrong, but I forgave you and I won't remember it anymore. He remembers your sin no more. And so I pray for that weight and that burden that that people have been carrying to be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for the one that's been struggling to stay in the Spirit. They've been, maybe they've had moments or seasons where they've walked with you, but they've been walking according to their own flesh, following their own, the own evil dictates of their heart, as it says in Jeremiah. And I thank you that the guilt that comes with that can lead us back to you. To say, this is a warning sign, I need to get right with God. And if you need to get right with God right now, don't waste another second. Just say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Begin to confess your sin to him. Open your heart to him. Maybe you need to find a place in the altar. Maybe you need to just open your heart right where you are and say, God, would you forgive me? I'm coming back home. I've been like the prodigal son. I've went my own way. I've done my own thing. The devil's been trying to get me to go this direction, but right now I'm choosing. I'm coming back to you. I'm fixing my mind on you. Lord, I pray for the ones that have been struggling in their mind. I pray that you would help them to set the right channel, to not be lazy in their thinking, but to be proactive and say, I'm setting my mind on spiritual things. I'm setting my mind on the word. I'm setting my mind on holy things. And Lord, we just pray right now that you would seal all these things inside of our heart, that we would be able to walk with you and in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We've got a few things. If you need prayer today, I already had someone come up and ask for prayer, and then we've got another prayer request here. If you have any need of prayer in your life, I'd just like to invite you to come to the altar. We want to, myself and the leadership team, we want to pray for you. If you need any kind of prayer, you can come up. If not, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you, and may you remember there is therefore now no condemnation. Because you're living in Christ Jesus. You're not going to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so I speak that blessing over you today. God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you need prayer, just come on up here to the altar, and we're going to begin to lay hands and pray for people today. If you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. If you need to go, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here. But we want to pray for anybody that needs prayer, or if you need to stand in for somebody. Maybe you know somebody, but we're going to pray today because we believe. I was sharing with the team this morning for prayer, Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And so we're going to pray for those that need prayer today. But if you need to go, you're released. Thank you for being here. We love you so much. God bless you.